series called Glimpses of God. We're going through the Bible, looking at different people's interactions with God. In each one of these stories in the Bible, we see people get a glimpse of God. They don't get the whole picture, but they get a glimpse. And that glimpse reveals something about God. And so we're looking at these different interactions with God to gain these glimpses, with the hope that as we gain these glimpses, we'll learn more and more about Him. Because to know God is to love God. So as you guys grow in your knowledge of God, naturally you're going to grow in your love for Him. And that's going to be key to everything else. Because if you love God, if you truly love Him, the rest just kind of falls into place. So that's my hope for you as your pastor, is that you would truly get to know God, and then that would result in you loving God. So we're going to see today that this is important that we're doing this, because I think the world has given us, kind of framed our picture of God in a wrong way. Because of the world we live in, we get a tainted picture of God, and this is what I mean. In our world, the highest quality, the thing that matters most, is being removed from discomfort, right? About being comfortable, about being having a problem-free life. That's kind of the goal of our world, we'd agree, right? That it's all about getting all your ducks in a row and having a comfortable life and a peaceful life and a problem-free life. And because of that, because the Church of America, Christianity, knows that that's what people want to hear, that they want a problem-free life, we have packaged God as the answer to provide you that problem-free life. If you'll just walk with God, He will remove your problems and take care of things, and all your messed up life, He's going to fix it all, and then you won't have any more problems. And to a world that doesn't want any problem, that's a great sell. Yeah, okay, I'll do that. So all I gotta do is follow this God. So I can have the ear of the God that's in control of all things. So if I got His ear, if I ask it, then He'll do it. This is a great way for me to get what I want, which is a problem-free life. And so let's do this so I get a problem-free life. But here's the issue with that. So they say, okay, I'm following God so that'll happen. They follow God. What ends up happening? Problems, right? Life happens, problems happen, and then people, they've been sold kind of this different version of God that maybe isn't the real, who God really is, so that when that thing doesn't come to fruition, then they're mad at God, and people start walking away from God. Well, that didn't work. I'm gonna go try the next thing. See, that'll solve my problems. And it's all about just experiencing that problem-free life. And we've even gone so far as to say, well, the key to experiencing that problem-free life is faithfulness to God. If you do the things God wants you to do, then the result will be you won't have those problems. And the reason you got those problems is because you're not doing the things God wants you to do. Therefore, the carrot we dangle to make people do what God asks them to do, is the carrot we dangle is, well, God will remove your problems. But again, we're going to see today that that's not how it works. It doesn't work like that. That's not the true God that we serve. And we're gonna work through this and see it together. But our foundational truth this morning, our starting point, here's what we're gonna start with and build off of. Our foundational truth this morning, it's your first fill in the blanks in your bulletin. If you'd like to do fill in the blanks, this is that. Typically we have them up there. Today we don't, which means I'm gonna have to be really good. That's like my crutch. I don't have to be that clear because it's up there. Today I gotta be very clear because it's not up there. So I'm challenging myself to be clear. I'm challenging you to listen, all right, so we can get these fill in the blanks and follow together in this message. Okay, so our foundational truth as we're getting this glimpse of God is this. God's power does not always provide escape from trials, but instead power to endure trials. You guys catch the difference there? God's power does not always provide escape from trials, but instead power to endure trials. So the power of God, His work in our lives, isn't a means to just avoid problems. Instead, it's a means to work through those problems. It's not a way to escape from those. The power doesn't remove us and escape from those struggles. Instead, He works in those struggles. That as we follow God, we're still going to experience those struggles, and we're still going to see the power of God displayed in our lives. This isn't a God doesn't have the power, He doesn't do that. No, this is a God's got power, but this is how we're going to see that typically how He uses His power isn't to pull us out of that thing, but instead to give us power to walk in that thing, walk through that thing. Okay, so that's what we're going to be talking about today. So where we're going to be getting this from, we're going to be looking at Paul, the Apostle Paul, and his encounter with God. And you might be thinking Damascus Road, that's quite an encounter. We're not going there. We're going somewhere else. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you got a Bible, open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at Paul and this encounter with God and how it framed his view of God and then the trials and struggles that he faced. So as you're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, a little bit about Paul. We know Paul was a faithful guy. He followed God. He was wholeheartedly, he was all in. He did everything he was supposed to do. He was a follower. He was faithful. He pleased God with his life. We would all agree that he was a faithful man. We're also going to see that Paul, in the midst of that following God faithfully, faced many, many struggles and trials. He had a rough road. So following God for him being faithful meant struggles and trials. Didn't mean freedom from that. So we're going to see in chapter 11, which is the chapter right before what we're going to read today, he's listing off all this stuff that he went through, all these struggles, all these trials, how difficult it's been. And he felt the need to do this because at the time, there were these other guys in the church that were kind of undermining him. Saying, who's Paul? Paul, you don't need to listen to Paul. And they're kind of cutting him off at the knees and talking bad about him. So he felt the need to kind of state his resume. But his resume in this situation isn't how good he is, it's how bad he's at it. Like, man, I've been, he didn't say, look how strong I am, he says, look how weak I am. He said, look at all my weaknesses, look what I've had to endure, look what, and so he felt a need to do this to kind of state his resume, state his case to the church in Corinth. So we saw in the previous chapter, in chapter 11, verse 23, going back a little bit, it says, this is what Paul says, are they servants of Christ, talking about these other people? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. He put that little parenthesis. I am more. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. Verse 24, five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. You know what that 40 lashes minus one is? 40 is death. That's the death penalty. They didn't have the right in the Roman Empire to give people the death penalty. So they didn't give them, they don't give them 39. They give them 40 minus one to make it very clear that we're doing the most we can get away with to you. Okay? So 40 is death. 40 minus one is the most they could do. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. Okay, so you're going to try to tell me that being faithful to God is going to lead you down a safe road with no problems and no struggles, and God is the answer to your problems. Did you see that, what Paul's been through? How many times did I say danger? I mean, holy cow. We all love the passage, I know the plans you have for me is to bless me and, you know, and give me a hope and a future. We know that. We love that verse. Why don't we ever put this on plaques? Right? I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from fellow Jews, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the country, danger at sea, and danger from false believers. That following God meant that for Paul. It meant struggles, it meant trials, it meant difficulty. So if you've been sold on the whole God thing that you follow God and he'll solve all your problems, guess what? Following God won't just not necessarily solve everything, but it could even lead to more struggles and more trials. Okay. Tom, that's a bad news message. It's not. We're gonna turn this around, okay? Stick with me, all right? This is necessary. Okay. Okay, so where were we? So clearly faithfulness is not a means to avoid struggles because Paul was faithful. He faced many struggles. Now let's get to our passage. Chapter 12, starting at verse 1. This is Paul continuing to talk. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ, he's referring to himself in the third person, pretty much all scholars agree, because he's doing this humble thing right now. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Crazy, this is mystical. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Okay, so he says, he reveals, when he's talking about all that, in the midst of recounting all the struggles and trials, all the hardships he's endured, it brought to mind an experience that he had when he got to see God face to face. He had this experience with God 14 years in the past. It's not like this just happened in the midst of it, but as he was recounting it, it brought to mind what he had experienced 14 years earlier. This is at the beginning of his ministry, so this is before all this. He had an experience with God. A few things about that third heaven, if that's freaking you out, like, what, there's three heavens? Like, it's the third one? Is that the best one or the worst one? How they talked about it back then? First heaven, sky. Second heavens, outer space. Third heaven, paradise heaven. So when he's saying third heaven, original readers would know what he was talking about. He's talking about heaven, paradise. So when they say third heaven, he's not talking like there's three different heavens and you're on the room one, two, or three. He's saying, okay, heaven one is the sky. Heaven two is referred to as is outer space. And three is paradise. Okay, so we're good on that? Okay. And so he has this experience with God. It recalls to mind this experience that this encounter that he had with God, this glimpse he got of God. He can't even tell us about it because it's so crazy. I can't even put it into words. But yet, this glimpse of God changed how he viewed his sufferings and his trials. He got a picture of God, and that picture of God changed how he viewed his circumstances. Okay, so let's see what happens. Continuing on, verse 6, as we continue on, 2 Corinthians 12. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, I won't boast, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, here's where it's going to get into what we're talking about today. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. Wow, huh? Okay, so did you guys catch that? Paul says, he talks about, he had this thing in his life, he referred it to a thorn in his flesh, an irritant, a discomfort, a pain. We don't know what it is. People have been guessing forever, trying to think, well, maybe it's a physical ailment. Some thought maybe had epilepsy, or maybe had a bad hip, or, surely like your leg, maybe something like that that he's dealing with. We don't know. Or it could be something outside of him. It could be like we know there's these guys in the church that are undermining and cutting him down. So it could be that. It could be a whole nother thing. We don't really know what the thorn in the flesh was. And I think what we got to remember is that since they don't tell us, it don't matter. Because if it mattered, they would have told us. So let's not get caught up with like, well, this is talking about knee pain, or this is talking about gossiping, or this stuff. We don't know what it was because they didn't tell us. But what we do know about it is at the end, he talks about why. So this thorn in the flesh has been a good thing, even though he doesn't like it. He's been pleading with God to take it away. It's actually been a good thing. And so he ends by saying, so I rejoice in my weaknesses. And then he lays out some of those things. Insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So we know that this thorn in the flesh, it showed him his weakness. It reminded him of his weakness. It put his weakness on display. We also can kind of assume, though, that it's not sin. Okay, because, so I don't think he's saying that sin I keep doing. It could be, maybe it's an impulse of struggle, we don't really know, but I want to think we could use this passage to say, I praise God, I'm going to keep on sinning because God hasn't taken this thing away from me, this thorn in my flesh. Like Paul's got his thorn in the flesh, you know, I got mine, script clubs, you know, that's mine, that special medicine, that's mine. So, you know, God didn't take it away, it's my thorn in the flesh, you know, I just got to live with it, it's my weakness, God uses it. I don't think it'd be right to say that, all right, that this is justification for our own sin, our own disobedience. Okay, but what we do see here, okay, so bringing it back around, is that, and the main thrust of our message this morning is that God's power does not provide escape from that weakness. Instead, it provides power to endure that weakness. Okay, that's important that we get this. Okay, so we're going to look at some truths about our trials. Our time is short. We're going to blow through these. All right, truths about our trials. First one, and these are, again, you're filling the blanks. These are some truths about our trials. We're facing these trials that will come. As much as we'd love God to take them away, give us power to remove them, instead, the power to endure them. Truths about our trials. They are allowed by our loving God. They are allowed by our loving God. Make sure you get that word loving in there. This is very important. Loving is probably the key word. They are allowed by our loving God. In verse 8, Paul cried out three times, I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But God said, nope. God allowed that thing to be there. He could have stepped in and taken away, but he didn't. We see that it was caused by Satan, that it was a messenger from Satan, it was put in him, it was caused by Satan. So did God cause it? No. But it was allowed by God, because God could have stepped in and taken that thing away. So here we see, it was maybe it's caused by Satan, but God allowed it to be there. That God allowed this thing to happen, he allowed it to happen. And what's kind of cool here is that even Satan is a tool for God. Isn't that crazy? Don't you think of it like, okay, God's doing his business and Satan's over here trying to mess up God's business? Even in his trying to mess up God's business, says, oh, I could use that. Yeah, Lord, great, good idea, Satan. Let's do that right, and then we'll, you know. Even Satan and all his mischief is a tool for God. So we see that God allows this thing to happen. So what we can take from this, though, that Paul pleaded that God would take it away, and he said no. A couple things from that. One, we know that God hears our pleading. Because he said he pleaded from God, but God didn't take it away. But we can take comfort knowing that when we're pleading with God to take away that thing that's been wrestling with, that weakness, that struggle, that trial, take that away, we can know, even when we don't see any action, we can still take comfort in knowing that God, our loving God, he hears us. He hears that pleading. And here's a second thing we can take from that. This may sound like bad news, but I think it's not. Not only does he hear us, he answers us. No is an answer. We think answered prayer, we define answered prayer as yeses. Yes, yeses are answers. Noes are also answers. Not yets are answers. Okay? And if he gets to be God, if he's really God, he gets to answer yes or no or not yet. If we're God, we get to tell him what to do, and he does it. But if he's God, we ask, and he answers yes or no or not yet. We okay with that? We okay with letting God be God? All right. Whether you like it or not, he is. So I say, here's what I say. Get okay with that, because you're going to be frustrated otherwise, all right? So no is an answer. And the key to accepting this, the key to accepting the fact that he may be saying no is grasping God's great love for you. So that's why that word loving is so important. Understanding, grasping, you know, it's okay that God says no. The reason I can be okay with that is because I know that he loves me. He loved you enough to die for you. He proved his commitment to you on the cross, all right? If he didn't love you, he would have gone through any of that mess for you. But the fact that he went through that mess, you can hold on to that and point to that and say, God loves me. Do I want him to take this thing away? Absolutely. But I can handle a no because I know he loves me. So understanding that based in his love for you, it helps us to be able to accept that answer. Because the fact is, God's love for you wants what's best for you. And sometimes what is best for you is that struggle, it's that trial, it's that weakness on display in your life. And we don't like it, but we got to come to accept it. Because that struggle that we hate may be the very best thing for you. And that's why I'm saying it's not sin, because we know that's not the case. But that struggle that we face, maybe that struggle that you hate, is the best thing for you. I love my two boys, Luke and Jake, so very much. Yet, I gotta bring them to a doctor who sticks needles into them, which they hate. But I do it because I love them. And what's best for them is those needles. Right? Can you relate? My kids, every time I go to Target, this happened yesterday, they throw a fit in the Lego aisle because they want every Lego set, big or small. They start big, and then I say no, and then they come back with a small. That's their strategy. And then I say no. Do I have enough money in the bank that where I can buy them a Lego set and it really won't hurt our lifestyle? Yeah, I could afford to buy them a Lego set. But I don't. I say no. I withhold. Because I know they don't need another Lego set. And they're going to get that Lego set home. They're going to build it. And 10 minutes later, they're on to something else. Or 20 minutes later on the big set, right? So I withhold. Could I afford to bless them with that thing? Yeah, but sometimes because I love my kids so much, I withhold. We would all agree the worst thing you could do to a child is give them everything they want all the time. Wow, that was a record. I'm going to back away. I touched a nerve. You guys feel the Holy Spirit there? I felt it. We all would agree the worst thing you could do for a child is give them everything that they want, everything that they ask for. And yet, that's how we want God to treat us. We know we want to do that to the children we love. We want to make them not spoiled and take things for granted. We know that that through the struggle, through all that, that they grow and develop. And yet, when we go to God, we expect Him to say yes on everything. God loves you so much that He says no sometimes. And that struggle that you hate, He allows it to be in your life. To see this, we're going to have to go fast through this. I put a passage in there from John 11. This is just an awesome example of this. John 11, verses 3 through 6. What's going on here? Lazarus. Jesus loves Lazarus. We know this to be true. Lazarus is sick. His two sisters, Mary and Martha. Jesus loves Mary and Martha. They say, Jesus, come. Heal Lazarus. He's sick. Come quick. Check out what happens. Luke 11, verses 3 to 6. The sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. There's Jesus' love. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them all. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he ran and healed him. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Know what happened those 2 days? Lazarus died. Jesus, you loved them. You could have prevented it. You could have stepped in and healed Lazarus. Jesus loved them so much that he allowed them to experience that because there was something even more important, that more loving that he could do than heal Lazarus right then. And that was to put his power on display in a way that they would never forget. And then to raise Lazarus up. In the midst of it, they were crying. They were mad. Jesus, why were you here? He was upset. He knew there was anguish. But in his love, he allowed them to experience the struggle and trial because there was something even more important than that. And that was for them to see the power of God on display. So he led them. So we got to remember, God loves us. He loves us enough to experience the struggle and some trial, even to say no sometimes. Okay. This is important. All right. This points to our second truth about our trials. They have a purpose. There's a purpose for that trial. There's a purpose for that struggle. They have a purpose. First, they're allowed by our loving God. Why are they allowed by our loving God? Because they have a purpose. There's a purpose for them. They are not some random thing. It's not fate's against you. It's not, not just circumstances. God's allowing it because he has a purpose for that thing. There's a purpose in your life for that thing. God is accomplishing his purpose through them. For Paul, the purpose was that to protect him from becoming prideful. He said, so that you don't become conceited, I'm giving you this thorn in your flesh. It's going to keep you humble. Because he knew if he didn't have that, Paul would get all puffed up and think he was all that, and it would lead to all kinds of problems. Jesus loved him enough to allow that thing, that thorn, to stay in there so he wouldn't become prideful. God has a purpose for you in your trials and struggles. That thing he's allowing to be in your life, there's a purpose for it. I don't know about you, but for me, when I'm in a struggle, when I'm in a trial, when I'm stressed to my furthest, I pray different. I go to God different. I depend different. I walk through the day different. My battle with sin is different. Because I'm so dependent. That weakness, that struggle, that trial drives me to God. And what if the best place to be is right there with God? If that's truly the best place to be, and that struggle drives us to God, God loves you enough to drive you to Him. Hosea 13:6, we talked about, I mentioned this a few weeks back. Hosea 13:6, Jesus, God says about His people, "When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became prideful. Then they forgot about me." When He blesses us and takes care of us, we're like, awesome, great. And we go about our business. But we're in a struggle and a trial. Woo! I'm telling you, I'm in a season right now in my life. I wake up in the morning and I pray the heck out of that day. Because I know without God and Him showing up, it's going to be a mess. And every night, I praise Him for the day. We made it, God. You did it. Wow. Because that weakness and that struggle and that trial drives me to Him. As much as we want to be self-sufficient and have everything handled and I can just take care of my business, all those things drive us away from dependence on God. Where God knows the best place for us is full dependence on Him. He knows the best place for us to be is right at His footstep, right there with Him, not wandering off and doing our own thing. And He knows that those trials and struggles drive us to Him. So what these struggles do, what they reveal is our own weakness. They show us our weakness, they show us where we're lacking, they show us our need. And the reason this is so important is our third thing. So these trials are allowed by God. Why? Because they have a purpose. What's that purpose? Third thing, to show us our weakness. And our third thing, our weakness is the perfect conduit for God's power. Third fill in the blank set is this. Our weakness is a perfect conduit for God's power. Our weakness is a perfect conduit for God's power. Verse 9, this is an awesome verse. Verse 9. When Paul asked him to take it away, Jesus says no. In verse 9 he says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And this is important because, yes, God allows us in His love to experience some trials, but He doesn't put you out there on your own. He doesn't just leave you out there hanging. This isn't a punishment. He provides grace sufficient for you through that. His power is still at work. It's not like He's withholding His power. If anything, He's extending more power by showing you grace and giving you the grace you need to get through that thing. Whatever that thing may be, it may be that relationship, it may be that the things that you're lacking, it may be a health problem, maybe who knows what it is for you. But He gives you, He is our source of the grace that we need to get through that thing. Right? Because when we are weak, His power shows through. He says, "My power is made perfect in weakness." Now don't think that God's power is lacking without your weakness, because that would make it lesser than, right? We know God's power is perfect already. But what's cool is His power is on perfect display in our weakness. I mean, it's like a light bulb into a, you know, big projector or something. But when His power comes into our weakness, it's on full display. So it's made perfect in that. It's on display in our own lives. Right, when you know that if God doesn't come through, this thing's a mess, and God comes through and provides you grace through it, His power's on display in your life. You walk out of this and say, "Man, my God, woo! This is real deal. My God is with me." And His power's on display in your life, to you, but also to others, to those around you. When people know what you're going through in your life and you still have a smile on your face, she's got cancer, she's still got a smile on her face. That stands out. That's the power of God displayed through you to others. When people know what you're dealing with in your home life and you still have peace, if they see what, you know, when the insurance payment hasn't come yet and you're stressed and you're not stressing out, when God provides that power, when God's grace is working you through that thing, it's His power is on display during your weakness. Now, as much strong as I want to be, if I'm strong and I'm doing it by myself, when it works out, who gets the credit? This guy, right? But when I'm weak and I know I can't do it, and God comes through, He gets all the credit, all the glory, all the praise. God's power is the perfect conduit. I mean, our weakness is the perfect conduit for God's power. Okay, so here's the process. Our trials reveal our weakness, right? We experience trials. Those trials reveal our weakness. Then our weakness is a perfect conduit to reveal God's power. See that, how that works? Our trials reveal our weakness, and then our weakness reveal God's power. So God, in His great love for us, allows us to experience some weakness, some trial, so that His power can be on display. He didn't run in and save Lazarus. No, he wouldn't put his power on display. He hasn't ran in and saved you from that thing you're experiencing. Why? He wants to put his power on display. He wants you in a position of trust, independence, and he wants to show off his power in you and through you. And as we understand this process, this is our last, our final fill in the blank, or our fourth one, I guess, of the main part. Our understanding of this allows us to embrace them. Our understanding of this allows us to embrace them, embrace our trials. Embrace, how'd I do on that? I was wrestling. At first I had to celebrate. I was like, nah, it's too much. To celebrate our trials, that might be a little much. Embrace, can we accept them? Maybe accept, maybe tolerate would have been a better word. But as we understand this process, it allows us to embrace our trials, our struggles. In verse 10, Paul's talking about how his view of these trials have changed because of his vision of God, his glimpse of God. That is why, verse 10, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Can I just say, I'm so glad our God allows the people, the ones he loves, to experience a little struggle. Because if he didn't, there'd be no Jesus on the cross. When Jesus cried out in Garden of Gethsemane, I don't want to do this, let's go another way. Let's go another way. Please take this thorn from me. And if God wasn't willing to let his loved ones experience some hardship, he never would have gone to the cross for us. So I'm thankful that our God allows his loved ones to experience some hardship. We all should be. So in closing, back to the beginning here. God is not a means for power to escape from trials. He's not the bailout. But instead, he provides power to endure trials, to get us through those. So as we remember these trials, we've got to remember they're allowed by a God who loves us, by our loving Father. Why does he allow them? Because he has a purpose for them. He has a purpose for those trials in our lives. What's the purpose? They show us our weakness, and that weakness puts his power on display in our lives. Therefore, when we understand that, it should change our perspective on those trials. It changes our acceptance of those trials. Not that we love them, or, oh, I'm so glad for it. I think that might be a little, much for us to just be able to say right now. But at least be able to understand, is there a purpose for it? God's using it, and God's bringing me about, and give me the grace to get through it. So my hope for you is this, that when you face those trials, they kind of have two options, right? Something hard happens, it can take you from God or to God, but that trial would draw you to God. Instead of getting frustrated and God's not for me, I'm gonna go a different route, that's not gonna work. Go to God, let it accomplish that purpose in your life. Put his power on display and trust him all the more. So let those struggles empower you to God. I ended with a quote on there. This is from Brother Lawrence. He lived in like 1600s, so a long time ago, before electricity, before cars, before Twitter even. So he lived in a whole different world than ours. And this is what he said, and it's so true today as well. Although we love God for the blessings he has given us or will give us in the future, these blessings, as great as they are, will never carry us as near to him as a simple act of faith done in time of trouble. These blessings, as great as they are, will never carry us as near to him as a simple act of faith done in time of trouble. As you're experiencing that struggle, that trial, as you walk in faith with him, you're going to experience him in a whole better way than the blessings. We love the blessings. We would all choose the blessings. But God loves us enough not just give us the blessings, but also the trials, because he knows that in those trials is where we truly experience him. So it's my prayer for you that God would allow you to experience some struggles. That he would let you experience a little trial. But as he does it, he would provide the grace for you. Or maybe it's that as you experience those struggles and trials, you would let that drive you to God instead of away from him. Because so he'll continue to provide you the grace you need to get through that. And you could grow in your relationship and knowledge of him. Let's pray. Lord God, I am so thankful that you love us enough even to do the things we don't want to do or do for us, don't do the things that we want you to do. God, I pray for all of us, me included, you would help us to see our struggles and our trials in that light. God, help us to accept them, to walk with you in them. Help these things to drive us to you. God, help us to, we do pray for your work in each one of these areas of our lives, and so thankful that for your love and your commitment to us. God, I pray for each one here today that they could grow in their knowledge of you. Yes, in the blessings, but especially in the struggles. So God, forgive us of our sin and restore us to you continually, day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.